Money Talk. This is Akashvani. In the program Money Talk, now we bring you a discussion on National Investment and Infrastructure Fund. The participants are Shubhamoy Bhattacharji, Economic Analyst, and Rajesh Lake, Anchor.
Hello and welcome to Money Talk, the program where we decode the policy decisions that shape India's economic future. I'm your host, Rajesh Lake. In a significant move aimed at deepening infrastructure financing in the country, the Union Cabinet has approved an additional investment commitment of Rs 30,000 crore in the National Investment and Infrastructure Fund, popularly known as NIIF. What does this enhanced commitment mean for India's infrastructure landscape? How will it help mobilize private and foreign institutional capital? And what kind of multiplier effect can we expect on ground-level investment? To discuss all this and more, I'm joined today by Shubhamoy Bhattacharji, eminent economic analyst who brings with him deep insight into India's fiscal and infrastructure policy. Shubhamoy, a very warm welcome to Money Talk.
Happy to be here, Rajesh.
So to begin with, could you explain in simple terms what the National Investment and Infrastructure Fund is and why the Cabinet's decision to double the government's commitment to Rs 60,000 crore is significant at this point in time?
The National Investment and Infrastructure Fund is India's premier sovereign fund. We call it the India Sovereign Anchored Fund. It basically means that this is a fund that the government has created to invest and expand infrastructure projects in and out of India. The government is a 49% shareholder in this fund, and that seed money which the government puts in, the fund then looks out for projects where it can invest further. So basically what happens is that the government money acts as a basic equity capital of the fund. And with that fund, it then leverages its debt. So supposing if the government has, say, put in, say, 5,000 crore, in this case, of course, it's much more. Right. Let's say, supposing it's 5,000 crore. Hmm. But then the fund goes on to say, well, I have got this safe 5,000 crore with me, which is a debt that the government has deployed with me. And now can I use this or rather to pick up a stake in some projects? And those projects know that this fund has the money and they are willing to partner with NIIF to create larger projects. So supposing a project, say, within India or abroad, which needs a big haul of money, say 50,000 crore, 8 or 1 lakh crore or something even larger, can say that, yes, with the government money that is already there, that there are additional investors who are willing to come in and join the projects with their capital and build projects. So it's a tremendous sort of, what I should say, comfort which the government provides, that okay, there is this money and therefore it can be used further. Now, as you can see, that it was 30, the government yesterday, the central government through the Union Cabinet, has doubled the commitment from 30,000 crore to 60,000 crore. So that means there's now a massive amount of money that is there, which can be used by NIIF to invest in all sorts of projects in and out of India, which can build any sort of things, supposing a nuclear reactor, an oil refinery, major railway line, any of those sort of things, because the investors then feel confident that we can then come in and push, use the, have the comfort of the government financing to put in our money also.
Okay, so yeah, what you are saying is that they get the confidence to put in money. So why did the government choose the additional infrastructure push through NIIF rather than the direct budgetary spending? What's the rationale behind this?
Supposing the government says, I want to build an oil pipeline from point A to point B. Now, it can jolly well go ahead and say that the cost of that project is whatever, say 50,000 crore or something, and I'm going to pay out of my budget 50,000 crore to build it. But then what happens is the government is then locked in to finance that entire project of that 50,000 crore. Mm. Instead, the government can say that, look, I think the oil pipeline is a good project. It is something which will give returns to investors. So So I'll put in, say, 5,000 crore in this project and ask the remaining money to be raised by investors from outside, who will be confident that since the government has already put in 5,000 crore, we can put in 45,000 crore and earn returns from the oil project. Because the oil pipeline is, in any case, a very good project which would give good returns to investors. So investors get the confidence that there is a seed capital that is there, which has been financed by the government. And for the government, then it becomes an advantage that instead of having to put 50,000 crore, it has been able to get away with putting in only 5,000 crore. And with that 45,000 crore, the government can then invest in other projects. So you can see there's a multiplier effect that gets created, where the government is able to put in more and more projects with a smaller investment from its side and asking the rest of the world to invest. Because obviously infrastructure projects are long-term projects which need government commitment and support. So even if what we would call this seed capital that comes in gives these projects a bankability which they wouldn't got otherwise.
Okay, you did mention the multiplier effect comes into play. NIIF is often described as a fund of funds, and that attracts both sovereign and private capital. How does the government's commitment of rupees 30,000 crore in this instance translate into actual on-ground investment? As you've said, there is a multiplier effect at play.
Yeah, so basically that's what happens. So we talked about the oil pipeline. There can be any other projects. There can be, say, a project, I mean, the government of India is keen that lots of new seaports get built. Seaports like transshipment ports. There's a plan to have one at Galathea. There's a plan to have one at Vadhavan in Western Maharashtra. And there are so many other projects which are waiting to be built. There are the bullet train projects which are planned, 7 bullet train projects which Honorable Minister Ashwini Vaishnav has talked about as the decision of the cabinet, which have been approved. All of these projects will require huge amounts of investments. Now, for all of these investments, if the government puts in its own money, then the government's money gets blocked. And the government can only put in up to that much money which the government has. So from the government's total budget of, say, 50 lakh crore, the money gets restricted.
Okay.
But if the government puts in a seed capital, then what happens is that the rest of the world, who obviously will be willing to invest in India, given its stable political climate, given its stable economic platform, they can then put in that extra money and earn return on that through from the returns from the project. And the government is able to develop a far larger stream of infrastructure projects.
So which sector, Shubhamoy, within the infrastructure, roads, renewable energy, ports, urban infrastructure, are likely to be the biggest beneficiaries of this additional commitment?
Very difficult to say, because, you know, everything is good. I mean, we already talked about, as we said, railways. We talked about, you talked about renewable energy. There are urban renewable projects which can come, urban projects which can come in. Any project which has got the capacity but lacks funding because of the confidence of the investors can get advantage from the NIIF. In fact, the reason why NIIF exists is to basically evaluate projects, examine them, that how much is the return that such a project can generate in the long term, and then ask that what the government seed money as its base, ask around in the different investment funds across the world. And as you would notice, there was a government press release which talked about all the investment funds like Abu Dhabi Investment Authority, the Australian Super, the Canadian Pacific Investments, the Ontario Teachers Pension Plan, PSP Investments, Temasek, Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, projects, new development bank projects. All of these can rapidly come in to cooperate and partner with NIIF to finance these projects.
The government has specifically spoken about catalyzing institutional capital. In your assessment, Shubhamoy, how attractive is India's infrastructure space currently for long-term global investors like pension and sovereign funds?
Very much. You know, basically the reason why infrastructure projects are tricky is that these projects require funding and they can of a large scale, but they also need to be used. I mean, there's no point creating a road in an area where there's no traffic, or there's no point in having a railway line where there's no passenger. But India fortunately has the population, which is young and mobile, which needs these infrastructure projects to be able to do their business more effectively. We need, for instance, huge investments in logistics. We need huge investments in warehouses because of the huge agricultural production that we have. We need production of, as you say, renewable energy. All of these are, however, projects which require patient capital, which means that the investment needs to be made today, tomorrow, for returns to start coming in, but over a longer time period. So India checks all these boxes. India has a huge population. India has got a huge rising per capita income, which will be willing to invest, use these infrastructure facilities. And therefore, they will create, and by using those facilities, they will create the returns for the investors, which makes these projects extremely attractive to build and to participate in. Okay. And that is why these projects make so much sense for India.
So what kind of risk return profile does NIIF offer to private and foreign investors that makes it an effective vehicle compared to other infrastructure financing routes?
The basic thing about NIIF is the seed capital of NIIF, National Infrastructure Investment Fund, is that it is a government-run agency, I mean 49% government-owned. That is a very important thing to remember, that NIIF, so for all of its infrastructure-focused funds, these are based on, as is said, the government support. And that government support gives the companies, and we talked about a whole host of companies globally, which can come in and which can take stake in these projects. So the way, how do they take the stake in the project? So what NIIF says is, okay, I'm going to invest in, say, railway project or a road project. And in that project, NIIF does the assessment, does the analysis, and comes up with a plan that this project is bankable. Then, based on the support that it has got from the government, asks around to debtors that, are you willing to invest in this project? The combination of a government-run support and NIIF's own track record as a very smart investment manager makes these companies attracted enough to invest in these projects, because these companies don't know about these projects. The companies don't need to evaluate how well the projects are run. That is being done by NIIF. Is also telling them how much is the return that is going to be generated. So the companies just need to put money into NIIF and it will give them the returns at the rate of interest which is signed on the contract. Based on that, so therefore for the companies, it's an extremely attractive investment opportunity. So the infrastructure projects are there. NIIF goes around and evaluates them. Based on the evaluation, NIIF with its seed capital, which the government provides, creates a fund of funds, infrastructure funds, you know, it creates all sorts of platforms.
Okay.
And asks for investments by the companies from across the world, who then need to do nothing more than just look at the NIIF signboard and park their money and enjoy the returns.
Do that with confidence as well. So does this enhanced government commitment have any implications for the fiscal deficit or government borrowing, or is this structured in a way that keeps the fiscal footprint limited?
Now, as you can see, the government commitment doesn't mean that the government has to put in the money immediately. It is a commitment that the government is making to NIIF that as and when you need, there is this commitment that I have to you, which I will honor. So depending on when NIIF runs up its load of infrastructure projects, NIIF can bank on it. So it's not as if that in 1 year itself, NIIF has to be provided a check of, say, 30,000 crore or 60,000 crore. It's with the government. The government has given the commitment that whenever NIIF needs. So it is possible that it can happen in 1 year, but usually it doesn't happen that fast. It takes time for these projects to be called on. So therefore, it's a comfortable position for the government.
On that note, Shibu Moye, thank you for that comprehensive analysis. Thank you for being with Akashwani.
Thank you very much.
You were listening to a discussion on National Investment and Infrastructure Fund. The participants were Shubhamoy Bhattacharjee, Economic Analyst, and Rajesh Lake, Anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani.
Money Talk.